smoked cigarettes and had cocktails. The Pasadena audience had obviously loved the film, but Katzenberg and his team were still tinkering with it, especially the ending. Turner found Roy to be a gentle, kindly soul, and that he made several good creative suggestions, though none made it into the final story. The article was undeniably favorable for Disney, for The Lion King, and above all, for Katzenberg. Prominent in the Disney formula is Mr. Katzenberg, Turner wrote, somewhat ironically, who, if not exactly the reincarnation of Walt Disney, brings his own blend of passion and obsession to Disney's mission of creating Disney animated classics. His frenetic presence looms over virtually every aspect of The Lion King. Thomas Schumacher had a particularly memorable quote. Jeffrey is the sheepdog and the wolf. He's the sheepdog guarding us and the wolf hunting us. And at another point, Schumacher says, he might not always articulate what is wrong with something, but he's like a heat-seeking missile when it comes to homing in on weakness. Initially, Katzenberg seemed pleased. He called Schumacher the morning the story appeared to congratulate him on his quotes. Just about everyone in animation thought the article was great, but Katzenberg later maintained that even as he read it, he knew there would be trouble. Eisner's name was not mentioned in the story. There was only a passing reference to Roy, even though Katzenberg had asked Turner to include Roy in the article. Turner confirms this. Turner had used the phrase the reincarnation of Walt Disney. With Katzenberg in the midst of his 60 to 90 day charm offensive aimed at Roy, Turner couldn't have chosen a more loaded or damaging comparison. The Lion King opened on June 15, 1994, with premieres at Radio City Music Hall in New York City and the El Capitan in Hollywood. Eisner and Katzenberg attended a gala and screening at Washington's National Zoo. Critics were largely smitten, though not quite so rhapsodic as with Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin. Writing in the New York Times, Janet Maslin placed The Lion King in the great arc of neo-Disney classics that began with The Little Mermaid and found it as visually enchanting as its pedigree suggests, but it also departs from the spontaneity of its predecessors and reveals more calculation. More so than the exuberant movie miracles that came before it, this latest animated juggernaut has the feeling of a clever, predictable product. To its great advantage, it has been contrived with a spirited, animal-loving prettiness no child will resist. Let's put this in perspective. Nobody beats Disney when it comes to manufacturing such products with brilliance, precision, and loving care. And films that lure the lunchbox set never lack for blatantly commercial elements. Still, the wizardry of Beauty and the Beast managed to seem blissfully formula-free, while The Lion King has more noticeably derivative moments. Strangely enough, the fact that this film has an original story makes it less daring than Disney films based on well-known fairy tales. At least one critic found the song, "Can You Feel the Love Tonight?" gratuitous, Katzenberg's original complaint. But audiences had no such problem. The Lion King soundtrack shot to number one, the first animated soundtrack ever to top the charts, and "Can You Feel the Love Tonight?" became a top 40 smash hit. The Disney marketing machine was becoming a well-oiled machine.